Your secret Jesus. Do you think he got all the stacks? I think he probably did.
Man, he chased them down a long time. That was a big run.
You know, even well, just hearing
juice fast.
Yeah. But even hearing the sound of that freaks me out. It's the scariest sound in the game, if I'm going to pick one. In fact, we should do this real quick. What do we think, me, Scott Johnson, John Jagger, and Bo Schwartz of the podcast Core, which is what you're listening to right now, what do we think is the scariest sound in the game, either... it means someone's ultimate's popping off or they're coming after us or what? Like, what do you think it is? And for me, it is that sound of him yelling fresh meat and that weird discordant music-y bling thing and then him running and the sound of his feet doing that stomp sound really gets me. I hate it. I don't like it. So do you guys have an example of that, or we all share the same crappy one?
Oh, I have one that's different.
All right.
It's Kyle saying... John, ping GURP so his AI follows you.
Yeah, this happened Saturday. I had no internet for about 20 minutes or something, and we were trying to play Team League, and that was a bummer. Because part of the problem was I could hear you guys for a little bit before I went away, but you couldn't hear me reply. So I'd say, you guys can hear me, you guys can hear me, and you guys would just go, what's GURP doing? What's going on over there? What's that? You know, like you were talking as if I wasn't there. And then the screen would freeze. And the new client version or the version of the current client, it used to just kind of go black and then say, please wait, we're reconnecting you. Now it has this period of time where you can right click all over the place and leave unanimated green targeting all over the screen. So you can just litter the screen with like artifacts.
Oh,
it's
weird.
I've seen that. Yeah.
It sucks.
I've seen that.
So I did that. And then it says trying to connect. And then I would lose you guys. It was my ISP. Who knows? They're doing construction over here. There's always some issue with that. But I came back, and you guys had lost, so that was great.
It didn't take very long once you were gone.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, we shouldn't skip over this. The other team recognized, I hadn't really ever thought about this before, but they recognized that the healer, or any character, I guess wouldn't matter, is gone, and it's computer-controlled, so their entire strategy shifted to everybody dogpile the AI character. Just constantly, the minute it's anywhere, kill it. Be done with it. Always leave them on the back foot with only four of them. That's interesting because I've never really thought about that before. I just assumed everybody went, oh, an enemy player has left the game. And you just go, oh, all right, that's too bad for them. But anyway, I hope the guy comes back. Oh, well, just keep playing. Like, I don't think about it. But these guys were like, it was like blood in the air. They were like sharks. They just went, oh, there's an AI. And they went after me. And then by the time I got back in, you guys had done it all. So. There you go. Although I will say this, when I was reconnecting, I could hear the constant deaths of Morales because, you know, it speeds up and it would just go bong, 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 like over and over and over. And I would see her screen go red, not red, red, not red. So I could tell that something was getting kind of intense for poor Lieutenant Morales. Did she get, did we talk about her getting promoted to captain? I think we did. I think it should happen.
We did.
Yeah.
I think we weren't clear if it was lieutenant captain first or lieutenant major and then captain or if captain.
Oh, right. Because I said Major Morales sounded super good.
Yeah. Double M's. I like it. Anyway, so there's that. But the point is sound. So that's a bad sound. I agree. Bo, do you have a sound that gives you the willies in the game?
The one I hate the most is mind control.
Mm.
Not because it's a particularly good alt, but because it's so situational. People don't often use that on cooldown, so you forget the Sylvanas has it. And then all of a sudden you're in you think you've mathed everything out, and you're like, I understand everything that's going to happen, and I'm going to do this thing, and then you hear, oh, and you're like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
And it kills you.
I don't like it either. Her, and it's her singing that thing she sings in Undercity, right? The
The Lament of the Highborn.
That one.
Is it Lament or Lament?
Lament, I believe. Yeah.
It's French for lament.
Lament.
written by our buddy Russell Brower. It was a big emotional thing back in the day. People would flock there during, I don't know if it was Wrath or what it was, but we'd all go listen to the song and thought it was real cool. And now it just means, no, you're going to go back behind their wall. So enjoy yourself. Good stuff. Anyway, hey, at home, you should email us and tell us what your scariest sound of the game is. I'm telling you, it's Butcher. Because that Butcher thing can haunt you. I can have dreams about that sound. That's like an actually scary thing to imagine, the Butcher running down a hall at you with a giant hook in his hand.
I think I would add to it the Chromie countdown when she hits you with the little clock thing and you know you're against the good Chromie. Because it's like, all right, I know I've been hit with the ult, and then you have to literally hear a ticking clock countdown before you're like, well, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. Let's just get it over with. We got a couple of seconds before this happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's a bad one. I'm trying to think of another one that gets me, and I can't think of anything else. There's probably others, but, you know, it's worth talking about once in a while because Blizzard is king of the hill when it comes to sound design, and they do really good stuff. Speaking of which, let's talk about BlizzCon. That's a thing they do. It's a nice quality event. It's a good time. John and I knew we were going. That was going to happen because that just, you know, we already knew. It was like sort of known ahead of time what was happening there. I'm hosting a panel on Saturday for the instance and possibly some other stuff in between. So I knew I was going. But the one big hang up was, or not hang up, but the one unknown was, is Bo Schwartz going to join us? And it turns out he's totally going to join us.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes.
I'm so excited, dude. You're going to be coming to BlizzCon. We're all get to hang out and be truly the core we were meant to be. All three
this
of us
is really throwing me off because I'm used to not going,
mm-hmm.
and I've never been before, so I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah,
I hear it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's crowded and fun, and sometimes smelly, but mostly fun and a little smelly. Yeah,
yeah, and it wasn't really going to be a possibility, but I got to say we have some of the best listeners because really the reason I'm going is thanks to certain supportive listeners who saw that I needed a bit of help to get the plane ticket together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they basically, I'm going because of them. They funded the ticket in full.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan Reeder over at Lords of the Storm that we like to, you know, poke fun at about his Nova and his Varian
and
predilections.
Steal the recording day.
Yeah. Steal the recording day. Exactly. Take their thunder completely. Yep. Got it. Mm-hmm.
They took our day, really.
That's true. Yeah, if you think about it that way, I agree. Yeah, you're totally right.
So we're just sort of claiming what's rightfully ours. But we were just too polite. I mean, I'm Canadian.
That's, sure. You know, it's nice. Yeah.
I'm working on it. Nice. But thanks to Ryan and to a little pep talk from Jocelyn, from Moffitt, from Angry Chicken, and among other things. And the fans, I'm able to go, and I'm super excited, and I can't thank everyone enough. So I wanted to extend a thank you on the microphone to everybody.
Do you think that, I mean, you didn't promise anybody any quote unquote special favors when you got there, right? Like there wasn't any kind of,
I don't know. I kind of did Nerdtacular wrong, Scott, if I'm being honest. I set up this. So it's like my first public appearance at an event, and I go around kissing everybody. And now everyone wants kisses from Bo.
Yeah. Yeah, well done. You established
it. I don't know if I want to do this every time we go somewhere.
Yeah, especially BlizzCon. There's not a lot of, well, I don't know. It's going to be like double the people this year because of the extra space. So this year is going to be weird. Like having this be a first year for somebody is going to be super unusual because they've nearly doubled their capacity. They're using the entirety of the brand new add-on part of this convention center, which I saw a couple of months ago just in passing. It's pretty impressive how much bigger it is. And so you're going to see this thing at a whole new level. And I'm a little jealous of that because I'd love to know what that feels like coming in fresh. But I guess we'll know because you'll be there and you can tell us. You can hang around and tell us what you think, what's going on. So look for us all. Get pictures, hang out, say hi, and join us for various things that we'll be at. Keep an eye on Twitter and we'll let you know what's going on. So very much looking forward to that. Congratulations, Bo. All right. Before we get to the PTR and Junkrat and all that business, we need to talk about, I think, Volskaya Industries, not Industries, Foundry. Industries is the map from Overwatch. This thing's sort of based on it. An Overwatch-centric map that was released not too long ago. And at the time, we all, I think, showed some good optimism about what they were going to introduce here and how this two-man robot was going to work as a mechanic for the objective. And all that stuff seemed interesting. We talked a lot about what the conveyor belts might do to a team fight. And now I think we know what conveyor belts do for a team fight. We've also done the brawl. The recent brawl was based on that stuff on that map and using the robot more often, getting people familiar with the mechanics of driving it or being the gunner on it. So after all that being said, and after we've had a little bit of time with it, I'm very curious what you guys think of it. Kind of a postmortem on the game's newest map, and try to put out of your heads that, you know, this is all under the shadow of what's it's called? Not coming back yet. What's it called? What's the other one?
Hanamura.
There you go. Yeah. So we're still waiting for that thing to make its return appearance. However, John, where are you as a you know, I think one of our leading critics on how maps are doing and how they feel to you anyway. What do you think of Volskaya or Foundry at this point?
I like it. I think it's a solid map. I think that, you know, I'm at a good place where when I see it, I'm still excited to see it and excited to play on it. I think the tree glove protector, as we've labeled it, I'm a little confused by it still. It feels like it's really strong in team fighting, but not very strong at pushing, which is kind of weird because when you think about vehicles that you get in this game, it's typically like, hey, the Garden Tear is really good at pushing through walls and buildings and all of that. The Dragon Knight's really good against buildings. The Tree Glove Protector feels like, hey, it's really good at team fights. But that just means the whole team dives behind the wall, and it kind of becomes this ineffective thing that's now removed two of your characters from combat. So I kind of am a little... I feel like they need to maybe up the pushing power of that, because it doesn't feel like it's a threat to structures so much as it is a threat to players.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe the real trick there is that it, you know, you have a hard time getting close to it. It's pretty good at zoning people out. And then maybe that allows them to push stronger against the fort. And maybe that's what the pushing power of it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Right now, it doesn't feel like it's a map objective that determines the course of the map.
Mm.
I think that could probably be worked on a little bit. So, but other than that, I think it's a fun map.
All right, before we go to Bo, I got this follow-up. To me, it feels like, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but it feels like for part of the match, you switch from having five individual players to having a Cho'Gall on your team, whether you had one or not.
Right.
Which would be really weird if it was already a Cho'Gall team and two of your individual players took the thing, and now you've basically two Cho'Galls and a healer or whatever you have left. That'd be really, really weird, and I've yet to see that comp, so I don't know how that plays out. But it does kind of feel like that. You feel like you're strong enough to be team fighty, kill other players. It's a little overwhelming, the firepower that thing has, if skillfully dealt. And that's fun to watch and fun to play and all of that. You had specific fears or worries or concerns, I'm trying to think of the right word, concerns I'll say, that this would be like the Garden Terror and like the Dragon Knight. I mean, the Dragon Knight kind of has an urgency to it. Like, someone needs to get into that damn thing right now or else we're going to miss it because the lights are on. Let's go. But when it comes to the Garden Terror, you got this countdown, then it grows, then it's still there for another 30 seconds or whatever. And sometimes it's just like, I don't really feel like getting it. Like, who's getting, like, nobody knows who should go get it. And nobody's really in that motivated to go get it. So you express concerns that maybe that would happen here. How has that been? I mean, it's early because we're not sick of the map and whatever, but what do you think of that?
I think it's still going to be a problem. I do think it's ultimately going to be an issue. Like, right now, I'm very quick to click it because I want experience piloting the mech. I want to know what the abilities do. I want to get it down. So I'm like, yeah, let me get in there. That's the only way I'm going to get to see how the mech works. But I've already noticed teams pushing with just one person in the mech and not doing the two people. I've seen it sit there as a bunch of people all kind of look at each other like, I don't know which one of us is going to do it. Who? And I have a feeling that people also get an idea, like, there's this weird added thing of like, well, I like being the gunner, So I need to wait for someone else to click it because I want to be the gunner. Mm-hmm. And so you get this weird thing where everybody's staring at it, waiting for one person to volunteer to be the legs. You know, it's the same thing when you're picking Cho Gall. It's like, okay, well, who's going to be Cho and who's going to be Gall? And you have some people that are like, well, I absolutely love Cho. And you've got people who say, I absolutely love Gall. And when you have a bunch of Galls on your team, nobody wants to step in and be the Cho.
That's such a great out of context. Like, without context, that's a great line. When somebody's going to be Gall, nobody wants to be the Cho. I totally agree with you on that. I think that's going to have to play out over time. That's probably mostly a single queue, more of a quick play problem. You know, in coordinated team play, especially at, you know, at higher levels, teams are going to practice and plan for who's going to be in that damn thing. So I'm not so much worried about it there, but I think from a general public playing population point of view, it's a lot of peas. That could be an issue and maybe more of an issue down the road when people have kind of either grown tired of being in the mech or the map is just, you know, played out the way people start using it. I think that's all a very good point. Bo, you like it. You're into it, right? You've had fun there.
Map's good. I enjoy it. I like the conveyor belts. I feel like I constantly lose on point C. It's so in the middle of action, I'm like, it's like I put my toe in the water. And I'm like, no, I'm going to hang out in the lane and fight them here. But I like it. Like, I don't dislike that there's mayhem in there. I'm just still like, I'm hesitant to put myself to dive head first into there. I think the Overwatch point control mechanic works really well. I actually enjoy that part of and I agree with John that I've avoided riding it, actually. Just like every other man with a vehicle, unless I absolutely have to.
You're pretty rarely in there. Hardly ever noticed Bo is inside of one of the vehicles. It just doesn't happen that often now that you mention it. I feel like you've secretly gotten away from that for a while, and now we have to hold you to being in it every time tonight.
And now we know.
All right.
I will.
It's fair to say that I think it's a pretty dang good map. It's got the best music in the game, in my opinion. I'm not sure where I stand on the conveyor belts, just to kind of bring that up again one more time. There is this one problem. I have a tendency sometimes to, and I'm sure this is a lot of players, but I'll, you know, camera down or, you know, mini map down to where the fight's happening down by the point, and I will right click there and, you know, or even attack move there or whatever. And I know there's not a lot of resistance between me and it because we're having a team fight down there. So I'm watching the team fight. I'm getting an idea of where I need to be when I get there. I'm watching what you're doing. I'm looking for setups. I'm looking for what the other team's doing. Are they backing off? Are they going ham? Like, what are we going to do here? And then what I find is, like, my guy should be here by now. I hit spacebar just to jump up and lock camera, and he's walking the wrong way against a treadmill in the middle of the map. And it's not that he can't eventually get past it, because it's not faster than he is. It's just really slow to go against it, because he's running upstream, basically. And I found that can be the pathing, the way I path sometimes is a problem. So I have to be extra vigilant about either shift-click pathfinding around this stuff or just keeping a better eye on him or whatever, because there were a couple of times where I got to a fight so late. I'm like, what? This isn't that big a map. How come it was so long? It's because I hit two of these damn things and ran against them the entire time I was on them and didn't know it. And that's a Scott problem. I'll admit it, but it was a problem nonetheless. Overall, though, good map. Yeah,
it requires some adjustment to your play style. Like, I was playing Vala on one of these matches, and, you know, it's one of those things where you, as Vala, you go in, you do your damage, and when they turn against you, you get out, and you have a very specific way of retreating. And the way I wanted to retreat happened to be against the grain on one of these treadmills, and I couldn't fight the muscle memory. Like, I'm looking right at the down arrow, knowing that this isn't going to work right. But I couldn't help it. I just kept right-clicking where I wanted to go and going, oh, no, it's not working for some reason. And it got me killed because you just got to add an extra thing to your thought process. And it's tough.
Yep. All right. We know that today's a big day, or yesterday was a big day. Or actually, it was Monday, right? Didn't he show up on Monday?
Yeah.
A little weird, isn't it, that day? Having it a day early like that, I thought. I don't know what that was about. But anyway, whatever. We got Jameson Foxx in the game, and you're saying, who's that, Scott? Well, that's the alias or the real name of the little Bernie crazy dude from Overwatch known as Junkrat. And he's in the game now, or he's at least on the PTR. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, he's been top of my list for a very long time as a character I wanted to see. My presumption was he would always be a specialist. We haven't had a specialist in a while, actually, in the game. So I thought it was probably time for one of those. And turns out not. We've got the development video, and he is a assassin. And a pretty mobile one, and is pretty nutso. I've only played him in practice, but I played a ton of him in practice. I know Bo's taking a look at him. I think John is the only one that hasn't had time to mess with him yet. Yeah. But in we all presume he'll be out in the public and ready to be played next week, which we're all very much looking forward to. At least I am. So I'm going to give you my quick impressions of Junkrat, and then kind of throw it around the table. Like I said, was really looking forward to him being in the game. What I wasn't sure of is, will he be another, you know, will there be a mana resource, resource tied to him the way they've done with other Overwatch characters? Will he be more like, you know, Tracer and the way that she is? And it turns out much more like Tracer. In fact, his resource is a reload like hers, except you can't manually reload it. It has a timer on it. And so the way this thing works, as you know, Junkrat's a dude with a pipe gun that basically fires exploding balls at everybody. And he's kind of a, you know, master of chaos in that way, and he's great in Overwatch in that regard. In that game, you fire off four and you reload your gun, you fire off four, you reload your gun, so that's your how much you've got in the chamber and how much you have to reload for. That's the way that weapon works. In this game, you have an auto attack that is basically it's still a exploding ball projectile, but it doesn't bounce. It works like an arrow from Vala, is how it works. It's a little strange at first, to be honest. It kind of throws you a little bit. So if I'm just right-clicking somebody and auto-attacking them, and I can move attack, by the way, so he's an auto-attacker, but he can also move while he's doing it, a.k.a. like Tracer. He'll fire at people, and it's just like this little seeking ball projectile that hits you no matter what. It doesn't bounce. It doesn't go other weird places. It's accurate, and it will hit whoever you're targeting. That's your auto attack, standard auto attack. It's not the most damaging thing in the world, but whose is, really? So
Stukov. I mean,
Stukov's, okay, his is, you're right. His is slow but deadly is what he likes to be known as. So that's interesting in that that's what they chose to do. He has four bouncy balls in the chamber, and you let those go with Q. So you'll fire those using a reticule and a... I can't decide whether I'm going to go quick cast on that or not because I'm still not sure. I need to play it in a real game. I might. But basically, you have a big round circle that shows up, and that shows what the range of it will be. And then you also have an arrow that shows up when you hit Q that says what direction you're going to have it go. And you can extend kind of where you want that arrow tip to stop, because where you have it stop is where it'll explode, I think is how it works.
Does it explode if it hits a person prior to that?
Yes. So if it hits a person, okay, it will explode. If it hits minions, it will explode, although I don't know if I watched that happen directly. I'm sure I did, but I wasn't paying attention. It can bounce off of walls and structures and environment. So it's actually pretty cool, because there's some talents and stuff where you can upgrade its damage power if you are ricocheting it first. I don't know how that's going to work in actual play, but imagine a scenario where you're crammed into a little bit of a hole or a choke point, and you could fire off two or three of these in a space that made them bounce around on walls before they actually exploded on anybody, and you could, in theory, do a lot more damage that way. So the interesting thing about it is once you've used those four shots and you initiate them each time with Q, so bam, 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 it reminds me, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Zagara's, what are those called? Her little shits she makes?
Her banelings?
Banelings. Her banelings, they work like this a lot, except it's a much slower cooldown on the reload, so it is a little weird. You don't reload it manually. Once you've gone, you're out of the four, I forget what the countdown is, but you wait some number of seconds for it to regenerate the four and they're available again. And it can also be you're down two and then it fills up again because you let enough time go. You don't have to spend it and then wait. It'll just sort of always be on this replenishment cycle. But it's kind of a long one. So a lot of the times you're like, if you go spend it all, blip, 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 and throw them all over there, you're gonna be a little exposed in terms of you're not going to have your Q ability for a bit. And it's strange, but it works. I think it works pretty well. The grenades do half damage on structures. They do full damage on characters. That was an interesting choice. I think it makes him, it stops him from being a nonstop sieger. So I get why they did it. What else did I like about him? Oh, I haven't even talked about his other kit. And I hate to keep going on so long, but I could not be more excited about this character, as if you couldn't tell. So
yeah, no, go keep jamming.
So W is his concussion grenade. He has it in Overwatch. He has it here. This is the thing in Overwatch, you shoot with your shift key and then fire again with right click is how you do it there. Here you use W, you throw it out, and now D is your detonation button. So you got to hit that D, and you'll throw it. It's a great lane clear, so you can throw it into minions and blow those guys all over the place. It also, just like in the Overwatch equivalent, will knock you and other players that are caught in its blast out, away from it. And so there's cool escapes you can do. It doesn't hurt Junkrat, just like it doesn't hurt him in Overwatch, but it hurts everybody else. There are talents to beef that up, including some quest talents. It's a really fun, goofy kind of a riot to throw that thing and watch it blow Arthas around, because that's the only place I played it was in Tori mode.
Does it instantly delete all characters like it does in Overwatch?
No.
Have you ever noticed that in Overwatch that's like his best ability in the entire game?
It's a great ability, and it in that game it saves my butt. The question in this one will be, will it, I mean, against some hardy tanks, I don't think so. I think it'll be great at getting them away from you. It'll be more of a escape tactic for when you're surrounded by beefy characters. But I could see some squishies having some trouble. And plus, the closer you are to the center of it, the more damage it does, which is not true in Overwatch. That's just it's just a radius, and it's no more damaging up close than it would be if you're on the edge of the radius. So that's interesting. He also has his trap. That's E. And what is true of both the trap and the the concussion grenade, you can throw one out and no one will ever get close enough to it, and you're sort of, well, that's annoying. You can go throw another one off cooldown, and that will just make that other one disappear. Works the same in Overwatch, except Overwatch now has two charges, which is crazy. They've changed him a little bit. But in this, it's just the way it works. So if you throw down your trap, it takes a second to set itself. You throw it on the ground, and it goes and lays out. And then anybody who stands on that gets rooted. Later on, you can change that so they get slowed, not rooted, and it does more damage or something. But it works well in mayhem situations where you throw it into a scrum, because otherwise, if you're just you and one other player and you throw out a trap, they're going to just avoid it. They're just not going to get in it. There is a talent, though, to make it so if they get within the range of it or a certain radius of the trap, it comes after you like a pair of chattering teeth and chases you down.
I saw this in the video and I was like, that's the greatest. That's the greatest talent. I don't know if it's actually the greatest talent, but it's the greatest talent.
Wait till you hear the sound it makes.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, I heard it in the video. Like,
oh, it's in the video?
It's
okay.
Crazy that they just went full chattering teeth with it. Like, I'll say this. This is maybe getting ahead of us a little bit here. I have always said in Overwatch that Junkrat is the Joker, like he's Australian, the Joker. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad Heroes has apparently decided to just fully lean on that, where he literally has a Joker variation skin and a chattering teeth talent for his trap. And they're just like, oh, yeah, he's the Joker.
Yeah, totally. Like he is the Joker, and he gets even more Jokery later on. So later on, meaning level 10, we'll talk about his ults real quick. He gets two ults. One is the exploding tire that you're all familiar with. Fire in the hole, here it comes, boom, it explodes. It's got a little blast radius. The closer you are to the center, the worse damage it does. He's vulnerable when he launches it, just like he is in Overwatch, kind of sitting there with his, you know, looking at his remote or whatever he's doing. And you control the tire at that point. So it's you from the point of view of the tire now off trying to kill a thing. It's got a timer on it where it'll just fall apart if you don't hit anybody. It does both siege damage and hero damage and minions and all that. So that's exactly what you think it is, right? That tire is a damn freaking tire. It's like what he does in Overwatch. It's nothing surprising going on there. However, his second ultimate explains that rocket he's always riding around on, including the launch screen for this patch on the PTR. It's, I forgot what it's called. Shoot. What's the name?
So Rocket Ride.
Rocket Ride. He hops onto this rocket and yells something great. I forgot what it is. And it's like a Doomfist ultimate, actually. So he'll fly in the air on this rocket. It's super cool animated, really you know, full of energy, fly up into the air. And as soon as he's out of sight, a big blue slash purple reticle thing appears on the ground. And it's one of those where you can now move it. It's like Johanna's ultimate, where you can kind of sort of move it slowly and change the target. But then at some point it stops because that's as much as you can do. And then she lands. It's like that. And you'll hover this thing over to where you want to get it. There's a big group of people fighting or whatever. In this case, some minions and Arthas. And he comes out of the sky like a bat out of hell and just boom, and creates this huge explosion, leaves four bouncing, also will explode balls, just like you do in Overwatch when you die. Oh, by the way, that's true.
He technically died.
Yeah, and it's true. He dies. Anytime he dies, he leaves those for sure. But in this particular case, it's like 3 seconds or something, but you're put into like some kind of weird psycho clown land. And by that, I just mean the edges of the screen turn like a weird color and you hear this like do-do-do-do-do sound or something. And then you respawn right away at the Nexus on that rocket and you right-click out to where you want to go, and he will come out there like twice or whatever it is, maybe three times faster
than
a mount.
It's 150% movement speed.
Okay, so it's almost double. It feels really fast. It's crazy.
It's four times normal speed.
Yeah.
Mount speed is 30%. You're moving 150%.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Paul's ass.
And you keep it forever until you dismount or get attacked.
Yeah, you treat it like a mount, basically. A one-time mount.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. So he can't explode it again, but it's now his horse for a bit. And then when you get off that, you're back in the race. But it is really fun. I don't know how this guy is going to play in an environment with a balanced team, or I don't know what his counters are going to be. He's weird as hell, but he's super fun and really interesting. And I feel like his kit's going to be just my favorite thing for a while. So I've gone on too long about this, but I'm really jazzed about Junkrat and what he might bring to the game. Bo, you play with him a bit. Where are you at with him? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. They nailed it. It feels like Junkrat through and through. Everything about it is Junkrat. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah. Like I think you covered everything. His talent tree also has a lot of cool stuff in it too. Like there's nothing in there that you're like, oh, this is a weird quest thing, or it seems unusual. I really liked his talent tree. Although I can't think of any talents right now. I'm like, let's mention a talent. And I'm like, I can't think of them. But there's one where he runs out of frag grenades where you get permanent movement speed boost of 15%.
Oh, right.
Which actually felt really good.
Yeah, level 7 even. It was like early-ish. Maybe it wasn't 7. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty early. I felt like maybe it was 16. But yeah, when you run out of your Qs, you suddenly are running faster. And that seems good, because he's pretty soft. He's not like a, you know, like he should be. He's a wimpy, non-tanky dude. So yeah, you can create all kinds of opportunities for his mobility. He's got all the personality you expect out of the guy like that. His ults are extremely satisfying, especially that rocket one. It just has so much flair to it. Like we were just talking about how some ultimates just don't have any flair. It's like they overdid it here. It's so much flair.
Like they said, oh, Overwatch, that's a cute ultimate you came up with. Yeah, we'll put that in there, but also how about this?
Yeah.
And you know what? There's one thing I need to try.
What's that?
So the concussion mine, it's going to be great for enemies chasing you down. There's a wall. Throw the concussion mine down and vault yourself over the wall. Mm-hmm. But what would really make that little move great is if you could either spray and taunt at the same time as you do it. So as you fly in the air, you're also like, I didn't see his taunt animation, but whatever it is, just so the enemy can get even more mad. So you go, and fly off and be like giving him the bird or whatever. Yeah. It'd be great.
Even his dance is great. Like everything about him is great.
Oh, his dance cracks me up.
Yeah. He's such a spaz.
Saw an animated GIF of that thing on loop and I just watched it nonstop. It's so dorky.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's really good. So all that being said, you know, we'll see what his place is, but very excited. Couldn't be more excited. He's. I also like that he's just not another mana hero. It's a different kind of resource to manage, which is interesting, and it's kind of different from everything else, despite some of the similarities to Tracer and others. But like all of that combined just has me, I don't know, real giddy about it. I already loved him. I play the hell out of him in Overwatch. I love him in Overwatch. So it was kind of a no-brainer. I do kind of wish that they were launching a map with it. I'd love to see that Junkertown style in a map in Heroes of the Storm. We may eventually get that someday, so that's a slight bummer, but whatever. His skins, his alternate skins look really cool. This Halloween patch coming up, he gets some love there as well, along with what he's launching with. Like, everything about that guy is great. The only downside of that ultimate with the rocket means he's never going to get that rocket as a mount. Like, a straight up, that will never be just a straight up mount you can get, I don't think.
Right.
Because it would be too weird.
I did like Kyle's tweet. I thought it was pretty on point, where he said, so Stukov and Morales get nerfed on the same patch where Junkrat comes out and is awesome. I guess we've lost our healer.
Well, you know, he might be onto something. I mean, after all those losses, I don't know what I am anymore. But anyway, he's great. Can't freaking wait. Bring it on. Long live
Junkrat. I'm totally good with if all you want to play is Junkrat on Saturdays now, Scott, then let's do it.
All right. Me,
let's build around it.
I'll be Junkrat. Yeah. You be who is it you're playing? Oh, you can be. You're also obsessed right now with an Overwatch player. You can play Ana the whole time, and
I play Ana a lot. Yeah, she's really fun to
play. That'd be fun. But now, I mean, this is Overwatch has, quite frankly, a very nice team comp lineup. If somebody really wanted to, you could go nuts with, I don't know, Zarya, put her in there with D.Va. Junkrat, heal with Lucio. Who else? And maybe Genji assassin or something would be insane.
Yeah, we got Tracer or Genji.
Yeah,
for that dive attacker, and then you can be the backline firing the grenades over.
So I'm just thinking we have some options coming up for the charity thing, because we could do like full Overwatch team versus full World of Warcraft team, or you know, full Starcraft team or whatever. We're finally getting to the point where there's enough population in each IP that you could build like pretty good teams.
Well, let's ask it too. I mean, I feel weird asking this question considering I think it was last week or whatever. I was like, I'm kind of good with Overwatch for a while, but who from Overwatch is still on your, I really want this character in Heroes? Who would be the top of your list?
Well, that's a great question. I haven't thought about this in a while. I mean, because for the longest time, it was just Junkrat in my head. You know?
Yeah.
Bo had a really fun idea about Roadhog, which isn't too far from Junkrat thematically, but the idea of having him be a little less like Stitches by having a shorter range on his hook, it'd be more about pulling people to him quickly than it would be about the big...
Yeah, it'd be a faster hook.
Yeah.
Because like, it's very quick. Like, Stitches' hook's like... dun, 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 dun. You know, it's like this big... Is he going to hit? Oh, he got the hook. But this like Roadhog hook would just like come here
and yeah.
like, be instant, like a
and it could be more it could be more short range. So really you're maybe what it is to be an effective Roadhog, damage wise, you need to be in a relative short range with somebody, pull them in immediately, and then blast them point blank. And that ends up being the whole reason to have the hook in the first place. Like they could really kind of like the way the four balls and the cues work for Junkrat, you can play around with that stuff. So maybe he's still on my list, but of all the characters right now, maybe oh my gosh, dude, McCree probably. I don't know why that interests me, but it does.
Cool cowboy man in the game. Mm-hmm. That'd be all right.
Yeah, something about him. Maybe still Reaper. I still think tanks could be interesting with Winston. I mean, there's options, but
you don't get to say all of them.
So. No, I'm just gonna keep reading them. Symmetra.
I think Sombra would be funny because you know she hacks health packs in Overwatch. Well, you could go and neutralize their regeneration gloves for stealth.
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine? Oh, that'd be so bad. People would be so Sombra pissed. Sombra would
be pretty cool.
People would be so pissed. Because imagine also, like your wizard would die and she could just troll you and sit there and like zap the globe your wizard dropped and you wouldn't be able to get your stacks. That'd be crazy.
I just would hope she would say boop every time she changes one of those orbs to be for the other team.
Yeah.
Just boop.
That sounds about right.
I think mine's probably Reaper. I've been saying McCree for a while, and I still have a hard time determining how you do Reaper when a lot of his moves are already represented, but I also think that presents a good opportunity to do something very different with him, which I wouldn't be opposed to. So, yeah, I think Reaper would be kind of who I would be really excited, despite being a little Overwatch fatigued, to see them show up.
Sure. Who knows who's next, but...
Hanzo, we do know.
Do we think Hanzo?
We saw a design document.
Oh yeah. Is that on that list still then? That's the order?
Well, no, this wasn't the order list. This was just in their behind the scenes video for Kel'Thuzad, there was a document and Hanzo's name was on it.
Oh, that's right. It showed up on Reddit. Yeah.
He could be years away and just like, well, we have a document for him. Like, there's no guarantee that he's next, but I mean, we at least know that they're looking at him.
I know she's new, and if people haven't been playing Overwatch, but Orisa could be interesting. I mean, there's options. They could do some stuff. I don't think Doomfist is our guy just yet. He's I don't know. I'm not sure how he translates yet. Like, what would he be? Would he be a, I don't know. Like, I was surprised that I'm still a little genuinely surprised Junkrat's not a specialist. Just seemed like the no-brainer of all time. It's like, we need a guy clearing lanes and knocking down buildings. Who's got grenades and who can lob them far?
Yeah.
And they didn't go that way at all. Like, he's a totally different kind of use case. So, anyway. Who knows? Let's talk about Zul'jin. He's getting reworked. Hey, Bo, I know you're sick of reworks. How do you feel about Zul'jin wanting his axe more often or whatever the hell's going on with him? What's happening with Zul'jin?
We definitely want this axe. This is the case of a rework, A, that I understand because of the way the rework was, and B, I'm not sure what it is about this, but everything was okay about this.
Mm.
I tried him in PTR. I think the scope of this rework is basically just to take everything that made him fun and just make it funner. There was not like a whole weird shakeup where I'm going to still know how to play this character right from day one. It's weird, but it was a significant overhaul. His big talent was baked into him. I think that's the big takeaway. You want axe?
Mm-hmm.
Is an actual just baseline quest now. I believe it's in his trait where it's seasoned marksman, but for him, where he gets extra attack damage for taking, I believe, for just auto attacking. Actually, that makes it unlike seasoned marksman. But yeah, no, his rework, I tried him out. He's going to be super fun. I think he might even be borderline broken.
Mm.
He might be. We'll see, but like, I have a strong sense that like they've just leaned into his power level. Like, they've just really boosted it up, it looks like.
Mm.
So his you want axe talent is like baked right in. Have you played a lot of Zul'jin, Scott?
A little bit, not as much as I always meant to. I don't like again, you know how I feel about characters who want their power, their health to be gone before they're any good? I hate that.
Oh, right.
Like him, him, I don't like that about him. I don't like Gul'dan and the way he does stuff. I don't like that in any game where warlocks are, you know, taking their own life away to be powerful. I hate that. So that's just never been a thing I've liked. I'll probably swing back around on him. And I know there are other ways to build him so that that's not the number one way you do things. But if you want to be a good Zul'jin player, it's all about having his life down to zip and then effectively killing people and not dying yourself. So,
yeah. So that's still, it's still going to be his thing. But interestingly enough, in the talent tree, like he has he does have a self heal. And there are a lot of talents now that I think complement that more, including at level 20, there's a new talent that allows him to use healing. And normally regeneration gets canceled if he's attacked or if he moves.
Mm-hmm.
That just takes that all away, where he just gets to heal himself. He can move, he can be attacked, he'll still get his big heal. And there are talents that will make that very strong.
Will it still go doo 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 and play like a cool jungle music thing? Or...
yeah, I think so. Yeah. I didn't test that one out, but I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
I like that.
Another talent too that's pretty interesting is there's a talent that just has a button where you can just lose 50% of your life.
Wow. Oh great. That's what I
but you regain it over 6 seconds and get 10 armor. So it's just kind of hard sometimes when you're balancing it. Like Morales is healing you and you're like, Morales, get the beam off me. So you can just be like, oh yeah, Morales, like I reject your healing and just
wow, that's crazy. That leans into the thing I don't think I like, but for somehow I like that. Some reason I like the sound of that. Cool. Part maybe that's because I'm the one healing, and I always feel bad if I top you off too much, or you know, like,
well, I'm always like, keep me at 50%, especially if you're AP, like if you have a guillotine as one of your alts, then it just makes I think. Also, the trait, it makes a big difference being below 50 as opposed to above 50. Oh. So 50 is the sweet spot for him, I think.
Part of it is it's easier for me now because Morales has this limited energy thing, and it's less likely I'm going to top you off, generally speaking. So I pay attention to it better than I used to. But back when I was just a healing battery, I would forget, and Bo would be like, damn it, I'm trying to hurt people here, and I made you into like a soft little lamb instead of the...
Yeah, yeah. It's really not... Like, he's the only hero I can think of who actively doesn't want to be at full health most of the time.
Yeah.
It's just bad for him, so...
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I listed out a bunch of interesting things here, but it's a pretty long list. It's a full rework, and we're not going to cover every single talent that's in there. But the one thing I did want to point out is that his twin blades, the arch for it, was upgraded like in this immense way. It looks beautiful.
Mm.
It looked kind of like they looked axes. It looked great. Some they did something to it, added more like swishiness to it or just particulate. And it just looks gorgeous. I just love the look of it.
Mm. I like that kind of stuff. That's cool. So, all right. Still a threat, that that guy. Seems like a pretty a recent hero getting a rework to me a little bit. Maybe the most recent, right? Like from release to rework? Feels like it.
Does feel really soon. I don't know if it's actually one of the most recent, but it feels very soon. But I would say welcome. Like, I think this looked cool on paper.
Yeah.
Hey, can I do something very unprofessional and real quick rewind us just because chat gave me a really cool idea and I want to throw it out here and
course.
See what you guys think.
Totally, because I'm going to play the sound of the chattering teeth trap anyway in a second. So you do that and then I will rewind even further. We're all hitting E on Tracer today. That's what's happening. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so chat room said they made a comment about Terry Crews doing the voice if they put Doomfist in the game and made me think, you know, he doesn't do that voice, but there have been several Doomfists, and I think it would be cool if Heroes did an Overwatch character of one of the earlier incarnations of Doomfist.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Like an original Overwatch character in Heroes, I think, is a sweet idea.
Yeah, why not? That's a way to do the whole thing we've talked about before of doing, like with StarCraft, they do this with Hammer. She was never anything and anything else before this. What they did is they made the siege tank personal, right? This is a way to do that because Overwatch doesn't really have, I mean, you could do things like just some random Omnic or something. I suppose you could do that, but the way that they've been able to pull that off with Probius and with Hammer and other characters like that, that's super interesting. That's a great idea. I love that. I don't know if they'll do it, but I love it.
Well, they should do it. That's another way to eat Overwatch's cereal. Do it, Heroes.
And like, what's interesting about Doomfist too? It's not a lineage thing, right? Like this new Doomfist could be Argentinian or something like that.
He's from. He could be. Well, as far as I know, he could be anywhere. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it's a lot like he's like Green Lantern sort of, right? Except villainous. Like there's multiple Doomfists throughout time, and it's like who has the gauntlet now kind of deal.
Including that little kid.
Oh, that's right. That little kid is now
Doomfist.
Oh,
he was Doomfist for like all of like 5 seconds. Yep. He's a Doomfist.
Yeah,
he's
totally.
The 5 second Doomfist, which is not just an adult movie anymore.
Hey, we don't want to talk about your college days, John.
old 5 second Doomfist Jagger up there in the dorm. Here's okay, now that we're rewinding, I'm gonna play the sound of what this trap makes. I think it's right here.
Crack can only have one active trap. And recasting destroys the old one.
Okay, hold on.
Fire in the hole!
No, I don't want that.
Destroy.
Hold on.
Trap. Once armed, it injures and roots the first enemy that strays too close.
Okay, no.
Junkrat can only.
Okay, that's not it. That's not it.
Trap. Junkrat tosses.
It's later when he starts.
Oh, is it like
it,
talents and stuff? That might be.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, hold on. I want to find this. Now this is a terrible radio, but I don't care. I just want to do this. Okay, here we go.
You can describe what...
Okay, I found it.
Upgrades Junkrat's steel traps, allowing them to slowly chase down enemy heroes that come within biting range.
It's going... The spread... Like a little chattery teeth thing. It's so good.
I like it a lot.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I can't wait to play him. All right. Let's talk about Muradin. Minor rework.
No, like a week after we said, hey, what if they did a rework on Muradin?
Yeah, we like to take credit for these things, but I doubt. He was probably on the block. Basic attack damage reduced from 97 to 88. That's pretty significant. His give him the axe build thing, probably not so interesting anymore. Because that's a big chunk of stuff. Well, go ahead, Bo. Tell me why I'm wrong. I want to be wrong.
It's not that you're wrong. It's that they've done some interesting things. So give him the axe is now at level 7.
Hmm.
And I know, like, the thing is, I know you're really going to appreciate the Muradin changes because you are a hardcore. You love Muradin.
I do. He's great.
And Give Him the Axe is a legendary talent that, you know, it's lived on in infamy as a big talent to take on him. It's a 60% stim if someone, I believe it's slowed or any crowd control on them. That's now at 7, and it competes with Skullcracker.
Oh.
And they moved Heavy Impact from 16. That's where if you jump on someone, you stun them.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff moved to 7. And the rest of the talents on 7 that were there before, gone.
Gone. Are they baked in just or just gone?
They're gone. Oh. Just gone. Wow. Just out of here, I think. So...
They're not gone. I think they're gone.
But I think it with confidence. Okay. He did get something baked in. I just don't know what talent tier, what level the talent tier tiers
right.
was on.
Yeah.
But it's Hammer Time, wherever that was, is baked in to him now. So
one, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Yeah. No, that's Perfect Storm. Oh, so, that's right. Which is still a level one. But basically what's baked in is you have a quest to hit 25 heroes. Not too bad. And once you do attain it, your basic attacks will reduce the cooldown of Stormbolt by 1 second. So that talent is baked in after 25 hits of a Q, as well as it pierces. So now you can stun two people. That's all just baked in by default now.
Right. But and enhanced by the quest, but that makes him a much more formidable stunner, it sounds like, than he used to be. And he was already considered one of the game's bigger stunners. So that's cool.
Yeah, I think those were like highly unpicked talents, but helpful talents. Yeah. So interesting that it's baked in. Also note that killing a hero with Stormbolt adds 3 stacks, which is kind of interesting because that's not often the case.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of little tweaks and changes, but the big ones here that I didn't note in terms of the talent tree is Perfect Storm no longer reduces the mana cost. So that's the one where you infinitely stack the damage.
Right.
You also used to reduce the mana cost, which is actually the reason to take it.
Yeah.
Q actually eats a lot of mana. But they did reduce the mana cost from 60 to 50. So we'll see how that plays. That's not a 25% reduction. So it's somewhere in the middle between the difference.
Yeah.
Might mean picking other things will be better. The other thing that's interesting is, you know, so the talent's called Thunderburn, but the one that claps twice at level 4, when you W, you hit the ground once and then you wait 3 seconds and then it hits it again.
Mm-hmm.
To get the second hit, you now have to hit a hero.
Oh, wow.
If it doesn't hit a hero, you don't get the second thing. So you can't use it to clear waves as much as you used to. I won't be able to use it that much at all. But the second clap will now reduce attack speed, whereas before it didn't. And I always thought that was weird. The second clap doesn't do anything. All your stuff that triggers on Thunderclap, when you used to take that talent with the second clap, you'd never get it a second time. Like the talent that gives you 300% damage if you hit one hero doesn't actually proc on the second clap when you take the talent level 4, which is not intuitive. So I think this change makes a little more sense anyways from an intuitive standpoint. I wonder if that will also upgrade that level 16 talent.
Yeah.
And finally, they made your level 20s versions of your ultimates a little more interesting.
Oh, good.
That was something you were complaining about. Avatar gives a 20 additional armor. Instead of, I think, whatever it was there, this is replaced. And basic attacks reduce the cooldown of Thunderclap and Dwarf Toss by 0.5 seconds. So you'll get a lot more cooldown reduction with Avatar. And your Haymaker talent, you get 2 charges, but if an enemy dies when someone gets hit by the Haymaker, you'll get a full refund of the Haymaker charge.
Yeah, I think those are improvements. I still say he's boring on the top end, but these other changes may also help that. I mean, he sounds like he's going to be a stun monster by mid game, and that's exciting because, you know, that's a huge thing. And the game has actually gotten less stunny, like less characters have full blown stuns. There's more roots and things like that, but they can still fight and attack. It seems like it's nice to take the one guy who was the most stunning. Bad to use the term.
Oh.
but you know, to take him and make him, it really bake him in as that guy, you know. He's your dude to give all sorts of stun, and I think that's a cool role for him. So I don't know. I'm down. Whatever. I'm excited for changes.
I'm getting a little sense of Junkrats. You know, I was like, I like wearing Junkrats here.
Yeah, good point. In fact, you know, one thing I didn't try. Can you guys kill my my grenade, my concussion grenade? I assume you can. Or concussion mine?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see.
Nobody, I mean, Robot Arthas never tried. So I
know the steel traps are not targetable for sure.
They're not. Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think the concussion mine will also be untargetable as well. I think it'll just be on the ground and the enemy, because it's not hidden or anything. The enemy team's just got to learn to not stand near it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Because nearly everything you put on the ground is destructible by the enemy team.
Yeah. It does make that stuff more, less wasted and more possibly strategic. Like you putting a grenade somewhere that nobody got near it first, but then eventually did, is interesting. I can't stop thinking about him. What's his name? Anthony? No. Jameson.
Just a week there. Yeah. Scott, just a week.
I'll be okay, everybody. I'll be okay. all right. Let's talk about what's going on. There's a balance patch, October 11th balance patch. Items in this patch were revealed on the PTR, but arrived early. That was today or yesterday?
It's today. I was surprised. It was like, hey, there's a patch. I'm like, but this is all the stuff from the PTR patch. Okay.
I wonder if this is because, Junkrat, originally they said that they would be playing on the Junkrat patch for HGC at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
They have now rolled that back and said that no, Junkrat will not be playable at HGC. So we will not see him as a playable character. So I wonder if they put all this stuff in to create a build that they could say, okay, this is the HGC build. This is what you'll be playing on. Go to town. Because it wouldn't surprise me if the reworks also aren't there for HGC. So I kind of feel like this might have been them planting their flag and being like, this is the version. Go play on this. This is what you'll be playing in the championship.
Yeah, that's cool. Anything else in this early balance patch that struck anyone's fancy? Bo, anything in here made you go, oh my gosh?
Annoyed by one of them.
Oh yeah, what's that?
The Lunara Wisp repositioning cooldown reduced from 5 seconds to 1 second. Okay, that wasn't the issue with Lunara's Wisp. Like Lunara's Wisp has been one of the most like, and I don't know the numbers. I'm going to make a, you know, I'm on the internet, so I'm going to make an assumption. But I feel like there's one choice on that talent tier where you modify her Wisp, and everybody takes Nimble Wisp. Because the thing is so slow, it's useless unless you take Nimble Wisp.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she is just asking for some changes to Wisp. And when I saw her on there, and I was like, oh, they're doing something with Wisp finally. And then it was, okay, the repositioning cooldowns changed. It's like, oh, well, all right, sure, I guess that's okay, but come on, we do something more interesting with them, because right now I feel like she has one useful Wisp talent, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't play her a lot, but it seems like you're right. I've never heard any of the complaints I've heard are not that the cooldown was bad, so I don't know what they're thinking here. They may have data we don't have, but what would be so OP about making that thing faster just from the get-go? Like, bake that in.
Yeah, I think that needs to be baked in. I think it's weird that she has a stealth reveal on it, but you have to kill it to reveal the stealth. Mm-hmm. So the counter to it is, don't kill it and it won't reveal the stealth. Like, it's just really odd. Like, I kind of don't know where their head is with her wisps, because I think if you don't take the faster Wisp, I think you're hurting yourself and you're not getting much with any of the other choices.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
There may be more changes to come. Like, I feel like this is just a small little tweak to her. I would hope that there are changes coming, as you described.
Yeah.
This solves the irritation of, like, I put my Wisp in the wrong place. I have to wait five freaking seconds to put it up in the right spot. Like, I think that's a good note on that front.
Isn't there a way just to, I wish you could just do, well, kind of like, I'm not to go back to Junkrat, but just let her replace it, you know? Like, instead of this be affecting that, have this be 1 second cooldown on when you can fire the next one, the other one dissipates, and this new one just goes where it should go. You know what I mean? Like, don't have the giant cooldown on it and then only a repositioning cooldown. That's dumb. Just have it replace it. You know what I mean? That'd be fine, wouldn't it? Just have it go poof.
Well, it's so slow if you don't take Nimblewisp, you want it to move instead of a new one.
Well,
because, like, it goes out at, like, walking speed if you don't take Nimblewisp. Like, you're probably not used to seeing it because most people don't take a different one. But if you misclick or you, for whatever reason, decided, oh, I don't want Nimblewisp, like, you click and it's you just watch and it just goes, and it's just like slowly making its way across the screen. And you're just like, you know what? I'll just go there myself. Yeah. Okay, Wisp, I will just go and I will see. And you can hang out here because you're just the dumb, slow Wisp.
You could swap out Nara's name, or you could swap out the word Wisp for my son Nicholas and swap out position for mowing the lawn. And you basically described every Saturday at my house. He is so slow. We need to bake into him a much faster positioning thing. And his cooldown needs to be way shorter on repositioning.
You need the nimble Nick talent.
Exactly. And, send that boy out and have it not be walking speed. Because, my gosh, it's terrible. Anyway, the other one that jumped out at me was Zagara's Devouring Maw, reduced from 100 seconds to 80 seconds. It was always one of the longer cooldowns. And if you missed on that thing, it always felt like a huge whiff because you had to wait 100 seconds. 80 seconds is significant, you know, 20 seconds. It's a chunk of time. So that feels big for her.
I think so.
You like that? Okay. How about Ana's basic attack damage increase? You probably like that a lot.
I do.
By three.
Yeah.
By three. But, like, the power in her really is in the poison. Like, once you get the five doses on, then the whoever you're dosing really feels it. Their health bar goes down real fast.
Yeah.
But she needs a bit more. Like, auto attacking for 30 damage at the start of the game, and it goes up to like 40 by level 7. Like, it's depressing. It's a depressing amount of auto attack. You just like, let me help. 40, yeah. 40, 40. This guy's only got 3,000. We'll get him for sure. 3,000 health. We're almost there.
Just keep picking at him. You'll get him eventually. She feels that way. Yeah, and she feels that way in Overwatch too, for the record. She doesn't ever feel like somebody who's winning games by doing damage, but she's all about healing. So I'm sure they've just tried to have that work here and feel the same, but I think also this game lends itself to, if someone's got a gun, it needs to feel like you're doing shit with it, you know?
Yeah, I can tell Bo feels it. And I do this too. I'm not trying to put Bo on blast, but the amount of times I've seen Bo go in for the, like, oh, I'm going to shoot him, I'm going to get him, and I'm just seeing him going pew, 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 and he's shooting him, and then I see him shoot his healing dart at him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yep, he just hit his cue at them because he got the bloodlust.
Yeah.
And I think all Ana's get the bloodlust every now and then where you're just like, I'm going to do damage, and next thing you know, you shoot your little healing dart at him, and it doesn't do a damn thing.
Yeah, it doesn't touch him, which really is lame. It doesn't hurt him at all.
I may have gone a little too ham, and now I can't heal anybody. Yep.
Carl Jim's, that's Karazim for the uninitiated. Insight CDR increased from 1.5 seconds to 1.75 seconds. Transcendence heals 96 to 103. So he's getting some tweaks. These changes to Morales and Stukov, they're not detailed here, but now I'm curious because I actually didn't look those up and I forgot about Kyle's tweet. Like, how much of a nerf did those guys get? I'm going to look at them real quick here. Let's see.
I thought they were minor. I looked at them and I said, this stuff looks pretty minor.
Base health, like, so a reduction in health is one thing. And then you got health regen reduction. I don't like that, but it's not by much. It was 3.34. It's now 3.23. That's going to be barely noticeable. The cooldown on level 1 talent clear. Blah, 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 I don't care about that. Let's see. Blast shield. Yeah, that doesn't seem too bad. That seems all right. Stukov, he's getting his health reduced and his regen reduced. Again, pretty incremental. Yeah, I don't know. It's probably not that big a deal.
These feel like little, you know, strokes on the canvas to help put the finishing touches. Like, there wasn't a lot here. Now, if you're a Stukov main, you're going to look at every point of damage. Like, I say that about this, and I put Ana in the notes. 3 extra points of auto attack. Best note ever.
Sure.
So we all have our own little biases about the things that jump out at us, but the stuff just looked like very, very touchy stuff. So
yeah, nothing too major. I don't like when main health is reduced by nearly 100 points. But I think I can live with that. You're a healer. You're supposed to be a little bit squishy. As long as they don't take away, I want all the damage in my arm that I currently get. I know it's slow, whatever, but I love final killing somebody with a swing of my big infected shit arm. It's amazing feeling in that game. And it has this great sound effect of just wham, and people just die after that. It's a it's so good. They don't expect it. They don't expect the kind of strength I've got in my big pustule arm. So take that and don't ever change it.
Man, they should make a Stukov skin for BlizzCon. He's got the Concred arm.
They did nerf his ranged version of the auto attack a little bit.
Really? That thing was already wimpy, though. That bums me out a little.
Well, they buffed it. The problem is they buffed it, and now they've nerfed it because I think everybody went, oh, buffed, I'm going to try this ranged one, and they realized that he was putting out some crazy big numbers because everybody started taking it, and so I think they just brought it back down.
Okay, that's fine. 30, let's see, damage reduction to passive spine. Oh, spine launcher passive damage reduction increased from 30 to 40%. Wait, that's not the same, though. What is that? Hold on. I don't get that. Is that what they did? Because it says here for spine launcher, which is a passive once you choose it, it just makes it so you shoot instead of melee. Damage reduction reduced or increased from 30% to 40%. I don't know what that means.
Right. So by taking the ranged, it reduced the damage of the auto attack. So now it reduces the damage by more.
So 40% instead of just the 30% ding. Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah. I mean, I never take it much anyway, but yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Yeah, there's that. Some stuff coming, man. Hollow's End returning October 17th through November 13th. That thing's gonna run by the time we have gone and come back from BlizzCon, which is kind of exciting. Actually, that's really deep into the month, isn't it? November 13th. That surprises me.
I know. We're gonna have to like really race to make sure we get all our event stuff done, because like, hey, thanks for running this while we're at BlizzCon, everybody.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, time or the hardware to take it with me, so and any play we get there in the media rooms and stuff are all going to be, you know, demos, not our accounts. So that'll be a bummer. But anyway, it's all happening. Hallow's End skins from last year, plus returning new ones. The stuff from last year should be relatively cheap to get, although this is all, that was all pre-2.0, so I guess there's no way to compare those. You got Dr. Wolfenstein, meaning Dr. Wolf and Stein. It's great. Freaking Gilneas Pete, he's got a, you know, his thing that's normally bear form, or sorry, wolf form, is now freaking, I don't know, Frankenstein form, sort of. It's weird. It's great. I think he's awesome. I love it.
He's kind of shades of Junkenstein, too, it feels like.
Yeah.
A little bit. His Pete form.
Mm-hmm. Got the white coat. He's like a doctor, you know, crazy. What do they call those guys? Mad scientist. That's what he is. So there's mad scientist for him.
He looks cool. I like it. If it makes people pick this instead of the stupid lions, then all right, let's do it.
Still not a fan of that lion, are you?
No, it's the worst.
Never really worked for you, that thing. Let's see. Here, Chad, I'll show you some of this while we're talking about it. What else? Let's see. You got Vampire Slayer V, which is, what the hell is that? Who's
Valera.
Oh, Valera.
Is that an anime reference?
I don't know.
To Vampire Hunter D? I just thought about that. It maybe. Probably. She doesn't look exactly like D, but she looks similar to him, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm not familiar with it, but it looks cool.
Bewitching Brightwing. Paper Bag Gazlo. That's amazing.
It's pretty good. The stuff they've drawn on the paper bag is fun. I don't know if you noticed, it's on the screen right now, so it doesn't feel like too crazy of a transition, but the demon Junkrat skin, where he looks like he's from Diablo, he has in his little tire on his back one of those Diablo minions from the game that explode.
Oh, no
it's
way.
It's like curled up inside the tire.
It was a fallen shaman.
That's amazing.
Shaman.
I didn't see that. That's super cool.
Yeah, he's just curled up in there, and that's, I guess, how it explodes. So it's pretty good.
Gazlo getting some serious love with those bag heads. I was just looking at them just now. They're really good.
Such a dumb skin. Like, so I want to say this. I love everything that they're showing. I think it's all good, and I like it. But there is a cheapness to the quality of the costumes that they all have that I both appreciate and I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, Chogall, we put some pumpkins where his heads used to be. Murky, we took the little guys from Garden of Terror and put that where Murky's head used to be.
Yeah.
Right wing. We threw a hat on there and the little pigtails from the monkey skin are on there.
Yeah.
Here's Chromie with a skull and a bow. Like, there's a quality where it's like nobody in the Nexus knew Hollow's End was coming up, and then they were like, hey, Hollow's End's here. And everybody was like, oh, what do we got? What can we do? Let's just slap some stuff on our head, put a paper bag over your machine, Gazlo, throw a drape over the horse, let's go.
Yeah, and do some alternate colors for some of the existing skins and make it good. Now, the horses are a different animal. That's a funny way to say that. The freaking horse with the sheet over it and a crayon drawing of a horse on the side.
That's my favorite.
It's so good. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to have that mount. That's my mount to have. In fact, my goal is I get that, and if nothing else comes my way, fine. I'll deal with it. But I really, really want that.
That's the must-have item from this from Hollow's End this year?
Oh, totally for me it is.
I think so. Yeah. It's a horse with a sheet and a drawing of a horse on the sheet. It's
yeah,
so good.
It's really, really good.
I think it would probably go really good with Junkrat, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of it will, to be honest. Junkrat's going to make all of our lives better. Anyway, that's happenings and coming. There's also this Phantom Stallion featuring a horse disguised as a ghost disguised as a horse. We mentioned that. That's what they're going to call him. The new loot chests look really cool. All the loot chests you earn through progression except hero-specific chests or purchase are Hallow's End loot chests. So they're doing it like kind of like the way Overwatch does it. They theme all that stuff.
And the way the summer thing went. And I believe I saw a note. Correct me if I'm misspeaking, guys, if you saw different. But I thought I saw that for this event, they have made it to where you will get something Hollow's End related from every single one of those chests guaranteed.
I believe
so. As opposed to just higher likelihood.
Yeah, I believe so. It could be stickers, could be, or not stickers, could be, what do they call those?
Sprays.
Could be portraits. Small stuff, but yeah, you'll get something with everything you earn. And it's the
probably
first
why we've got some basic ones in there, but that's good. Again, like I'm not, when I say that these look basic, that's not a criticism. I actually really like all this stuff. I think Halloween remains my favorite event in video games in general because it's always really good.
Yeah, I do think that the Murky may have been a last minute, like, guys.
It's a little.
You know what I mean? Just like they literally took the model and said, cut this piece of the geometry off and stick it on his head. What does it look like? Oh yeah, it looks like one of those little plant people. All right, done. Like, it's that one was not hard. And also Cho'Gall on the pumpkins. Come on, it's freaking pumpkins on his head. It's the same skin except that. And then I guess his skirt has a little Halloween pattern on it. But you know, other than those two, everything else feels pretty well thought out. What else? Oh, by the way, loot chests. I was just gonna say this one thing. This is gonna be the first time where we have an event this big where there's going to be a temptation the way it is with Overwatch, where you just go spend money on a bunch of loot boxes for a lot of people. And I'm thinking about doing it. I'm thinking about just throwing down some cash and hoping for the best, you know, for that might be a way to help me ensure I'm getting things. I did that with Overwatch last year for Halloween. And this is the first year we can do that with this game. And hadn't really thought about it. Like, this could be one of Blizzard's big tests to see if 2.0 is not only good for the fans and the players and the game, but also good for the bottom line as a way to make money after the fact. So who knows? We'll have to watch and see. Also, starting with Hallow's End, special event loose chests will now guarantee at least one. Oh, you mentioned that. That's happening. So you're getting that. And the new special event, play 25 games during Hallow's End to earn spooky new items. Play 2 games. Your reward is cartoon headless horseman spray. Play 8 games. You get a Hallow's End war chest banner. War crest, rather, and if you play 15, you get a headless horseman portrait. So you get some extra stuff that way. No mounts or anything cool like that, but you know, it's fine. I think that's it for that. Looking forward to it. That's next week, right? 17th. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, should be.
Yeah, I think that the whole patch should drop on the 17th with all the good stuff.
10 days before Super Mario Odyssey. You guys, we're quitting Core. We're going to make a new show called Mario's Hat, and it starts in 2 weeks.
It's going to be a little awkward because two of us don't own Nintendo Switches.
Don't worry. I'll stream it. I'll show you guys everything. It'll be fine.
Okay.
The BlizzCon virtual ticket mount for Heroes has been revealed. What'd you guys think of this? Showed up on Twitter.
Actually, it looks pretty good. I like the boar.
Yeah, it looks like one of it's not like their normal cyber. I don't know what to compare it to. It reminds me of the like the in World of Warcraft those weird what are they called? The dwarves that are like iron dwarves, the ones that are made out of metal. Those guys. That's what that looks like.
Yeah. The
it's a Pumbaa.
Yeah,
it's
a Pumbaa. Pumbaa.
Also, the banner. The banner's actually really sweet looking too. The like the boar on the side kind of reminds me of like that warrior armor set in Warcraft.
Yeah.
I feel like it would go really great with a Maraudan Muradin skin.
I'm down with this. So you get that with your BlizzCon business. I got my codes yesterday, so I need to freaking log and get those in there.
Don't look a gift boar in the mouth.
That's the old saying. Never forget it. All right. How about one of these? Got an email from Canaris. He wrote in to core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com and says the following. In currently level 20 in Heroes, I think he meant I'm. In Heroes, 99% of my games have been played with Uther, 0.5% Malfurion, and Rhaegar, and 0.5 free rotation tanks. I play ranked, but honestly, only want to heal Emmy suggestions. He means any. Sorry, I should have gone through and proofed this because his writing's weird. But anyways, on getting the required 15 heroes to 5 and an alternate class, I may enjoy. Also note, I understand it's best to know heroes from all classes. Just need a little help. All right. It was no offense, Canaris. Terribly written, though. I just wanted to put that out there. Really poorly written.
This might be a 10-year-old person.
Could be somebody who doesn't know English. I don't know. I have no idea.
Also, you've butchered his name twice. Oh,
what is it?
You know, it goes both ways. You keep calling him Canaris, and there's the N is not that soon in that name.
You're right. It's Caranus. Caranus. Yeah. Caranus.
Yep, I'm sure that's how he wants it pronounced.
K-E-R-A-N-A-S. Oh, it's not A-N-U-S. All right, anyway, whatever. So he wants help in trying to broaden out, not just have, you know, 99% of his games being played with Uther. He wants to spread his time around. And so the way I interpret this question is, what is a way for somebody to do that? I guess are we just saying play the other characters and see? Or are we
you've been in such a small, like, shallow into the pool, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, play what you like, play what you enjoy, but like, we're dealing with a sample size of 3 heroes for sure, and then whoever's on free rotation for tanks. I just spread your wings, little bird, and fly from the nest and see what else feels good. Like, just see what clicks for you, because you don't know. Like, you may say, oh, well, I just like support, and support's what I like to do. And maybe that's the answer. And maybe you will ultimately just fall in love with other supports in this game, and that could be true. But maybe you'll jump on Vala, and it'll click with Vala, and all of a sudden, well, now I play all supports and Vala and free rotation tanks. Like, you just kind of don't know until you step out there and do it. They all play so different, it's very hard to say, well, you will like this one for sure. Because I think, you know, we're a good example. If a hero has any sort of health mechanic or too many quests, Scott hates it. Not going to like it. Not going to be a fan.
Yeah, don't love it. Also, if he zeroes in on support and loves them, there's nothing wrong with that. He'll always be in demand. Like, someone's always going to want you.
Yeah.
People play less supports. I mean, I'm a big fan of being, knowing lots of characters and classes because it helps you be a better healer to kind of know how those other classes are playing and how those other characters are playing. But I that's a nice focus. It's not like people aren't going to want you on your team. If you were focused on just, what am I trying to think? Like just a specialist, that might make you less in demand. Maybe not. I don't know. But
specialists and assassins are the most occupied.
They're the most played right now. Yeah. I guess because I don't play a lot of specialists, and I don't know why I don't. I don't have a thing. I don't have a problem with them. I just don't do it. It's weird.
Branch into the sub supports, like like Tassadar or Taranda or something like that, where maybe you're still a little in your wheelhouse and see how it feels. See how it feels to be a more assassin-y, or Carl Jim would be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
See how it feels to be doing something other than just strictly supporting. And, you know, then spread your wings further from there.
There you go. I like all your bird references. It's good.
Yeah, it's just a little baby bird just ready to go.
There's a little bit of a problem with the question because it says I play ranked, but only want to heal. Any suggestions on getting the required 15 heroes to 5?
Yeah.
But well, then I don't think they're play ranked. Playing ranked. Yeah, I think they may mean they want to play ranked.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
They want to move up to ranked, maybe.
Well, it's a little bird and he's pecking out every letter on a keyboard, so it's fine. And we're still sticking with our bird, our bird thing. I don't have. I'm just teasing. I don't know what
thank
the deal
you,
is.
Thank you for your patronage on our show, kind listener. Yes, to take the time to write
it's
in.
Not we're a problem.
Sorry, we called you a bird.
Yeah, you're not a bird. You're not a bird. It's fine. But I just want them to, I don't know, like John says, branch out a little bit, see if you can find something you like, and maybe stay in quick play more while doing that, and then you'll be more ready for ranked and you'll feel better.
Make lots of friends. Queue up as random.
Yeah, lots of friends and random.
Everybody loves when someone queues as random, so do that.
Yeah. Thank you, Car Anus, and anyone else who wants to write in coordinateheroes4you.com.
My goodness.
You know what I do it? You know why I do it? I do it because I know that if I say something like that, there's something about this is going to sound really weird. I crave when Bo reminds us to be nice. Isn't that weird? It's a little weird, isn't it? Like, I feel like me tell you why. I think it's a broader societal thing. Like, I'm gonna just straight up and analyze myself real quick. I think I love to see people jump to help somebody else, whatever that scenario is. If it's in this case where you're just like, oh, who knows, if he's a kid, be nice to him, whatever, or if it's like something more reeled out in the world that's like a bigger deal, I like seeing that, and it's weird. I can consciously tell that I push that so I can hear Bo protect him. Is that weird? That's a little weird.
Well, because I'm sitting here right now picturing a kid. I don't know that it's a kid, and so already there's problem number one. I'm assuming it's a kid. Yeah. So if you're a grown-ass man, I apologize. But I picture a kid just being like,
hang on.
Mom, they read my email on my favorite podcast. They called me a bird, and they said my name was Car Anus, and they made fun of the way I typed, and they assumed I was a kid, even though in this scenario I am.
Right.
I love Core. It's the best show I listen to every week.
Totally could happen that way.
That's possibly one scenario. The other scenario is, and we don't often meet them given what we do, is there are illiterate people out there, and they're fans of the show. This is probably not a 5-year-old. It could be a 40-year-old who busted his ass to write these 3 sentences. We're like, it's like a 10-year-old kid. Look at how bad the writing is. And he's like,
okay, third scenario. Look, scenario number 3, 40-year-old guy living in the basement. Mom, my favorite podcast talked about me today. I can't believe I got those 3 sentences out. Like, there's all kinds of ways this could go.
The
bottom line for me is I just like there are people, and I'm not even going to attribute it to the stereotypic Canadian thing, because there's plenty of jerk Canadians, okay? But there's just something nice about having a guy around like Bo, where I know he is going to jump to the aid of the needy, the less fortunate, those among us who perhaps need a protector. And I think that's great. I know this is weird and offshooty, but I'm just saying, I think that's why I did it. Because normally I'm not going after people for stuff like this. But there's something about it where I'm like, yeah, Bo, and now Bo is going to like say, now hold on, we don't, and it's going to feel good because humanity needs more of that. You know what I'm saying?
I've been on the other side of it. I wrote into TMS before we were talking on the regular or anything like that, Scott, and you read one of my emails, and I went back and looked, and it was not that bad grammatically, but you're sitting there and you're like, you need to learn to use a comma. And I was like, oh, bullshit, you're just reading it really badly.
That could totally be the case. I would not be surprised by any of this.
While we're confessing things, I have a confession.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Did you ever get an email from the real Kylo Ren?
No.
You put...
Do you have an email account called The Real Kylo Ren?
Did you send me something? Hold on, I'm going to look it up. I don't delete them.
I sent you a voice message, but it was from a fake email account I made. And this is when we were first hanging out, and I thought it'd be funny for TMS.
Okay.
Pretending to be Kylo Ren. And that you play it on TMS. Okay. And I thought it was for a joke, but then I never heard anything, and I forgot to ask, but then I remember it. But then I was like, well, now it's going to be awkward, so I'm just going to pretend like it never happened.
Oh my gosh, I've got to find this now. Hold on.
So that was like 2 years ago. So now, no matter what happens, I'm sure we'll still be friends.
R-E-N, Kylo Ren. Here it is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's a voice file on this. Can I play this?
Play it?
You can.
Okay, this is 121.
2-year-old voice file that's never been listened to ever.
This is
one, today.
This is 121-2016. So January 21st of 2016. I don't know how I missed this. I didn't know it was you, obviously, but here it is. Let's play it. Oh, I have to download it. Okay, hold on. It's a weird format that
I don't even remember what I said. I hope it's not terrible.
We're gonna about to find out. So here we go. This is the best thing ever.
Bring it up.
I freaking love this.
Hello, Scott and Brian. My name is Kylo, longtime listener, first time caller.
Is this you? This is you.
Yeah.
Okay. This is me. Let's keep going.
I want to say thank you for all that you do on the morning stream. I recently lost someone close to me, and I have been going through a really hard time coping with my loss and carrying the legacy created by my grandfather. After a hard day of work, I like to lie in my chamber with my headphones in and listen to the morning stream and reflect on the work that must be done. I will finish what he started. I love your show so much. I've ordered Frog Pants shows become required listening for our personnel, but General Hux has antagonized my request repeatedly. He says that your show has a liberal bias, but I just don't think he gets the burden you carry. He also doesn't understand the burden I must carry, so please keep doing what you must do. Love the show, though.
That was weird.
That was good. I like that your impression of Kylo Ren is voice modulation, and I'm going to enunciate everything that I said.
We've established that I'm quite the talent when it comes to voice work. So.
Oh, my Lord.
So good.
I think I remember hearing this at the time and went, that's too long, and this. I remember thinking this guy's a little weird and I'm not going to play it on the show.
Yes, there you go. It's me. I'm the weirdo.
Oh, that's so great. That is my favorite thing maybe ever that's ever happened to us ever on the show. And a perfect place to leave it. Thank you everybody for watching and being a part of today's show. If you want to watch us live, we are now on Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. So be here then. That's when we do it live. Frogpants.tv. You can be in the chat room. You can ask us questions. You can talk about stuff, whatever you want to do, and watch the show live. For everybody else, glad you're getting it the way you're getting it. Go to heroesforyou.com if you are confused about where you can get it, because all the places are listed right there. You can also join us in-game by typing /joinfrogpants and play with us and other listeners. Core@heroesforyou.com, again, is that email address. And on Twitter, you can follow all of us, Bo Schwartz at Bo Schwartz. You can find John at John_Jagger. I'm at Scott Johnson, and the show is at Core Heroes. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. See you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Doing the wee 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 wee